The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
If you are that offended by everything in life, this isn't the radio show for you. There's plenty more to choose from because this one will drive you absolutely batty, drive you crazy.
Here's John Kincaid.
Welcome aboard the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm laughing at an email. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. With these challenging times upon us, let Rocket Mortgage help you out. If you need mortgage assistance, even if you're not a current customer, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way. Dennis says the only thing he's been offended by today is my rapping. He says that's the only thing he's found offensive today. And he does appreciate my stance on the cancel culture. And it's above and beyond. Now, here's a great one. And let me make sure I get her name right. Mariana. And Mariana, I thank you for listening. She says, are you not worried with your cancel culture take that the cancel culture will now come after you? No, Mariana, I'm really not. I'm not worried. Look, it's like, come get me if that's what you want to do. Go for it. My take is for most people is lighten up, Francis. And I'm going to tell you point blank, my favorite syrup is Mrs. Butterworth's. And I'm very, very upset to hear about the Mrs. Butterworth's controversy, which I didn't even know existed. And I'm going to say, if that's what we're now doing, we can't have Mrs. Butterworth's, we can't have Aunt Jemima, we can't have Uncle Ben's, and a gentleman here saying he went to his, all right, Thomas. Thomas is listening in Dallas. He said, I went to our pantry. He's an African-American man, by the way, and he's been on the front lines of COVID working at a hospital, and I appreciate you very much for that. He said, I went to my pantry, got out of my office, went to my pantry to look at the Uncle Ben's box because he didn't even know that he was supposed to be offended by Uncle Ben's. He didn't know. Key is you're not. You're not, and I appreciate that. And hopefully everybody's having a little fun today on this Father's Day. And you get an opportunity to reflect on maybe the dad you're missing, the grandfather you're missing, or otherwise. I was thinking of my grandfathers. I didn't meet either one of them. And my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, died on Flag Day, June 14th, while my mom was pregnant with me. So I never got to meet him. And he is my doppelganger, or I should say I am his doppelganger. My mom said it's like they recreated. So she has many pictures from him in the First World War and beyond. And my maternal grandfather and I were lookalikes. Her dad were lookalikes. And she said I would remind her of him so often that at times she has to say to me, okay, dad. And she would remind me that she's the parent and I'm the child. And she would say, okay, dad, I don't need you to parent me. I'm your parent. Pipe down. And so I'm proud. Henry Lee Simons in the, if you're in Front Royal, Virginia, go see my grandfather's grave sometime and say a prayer for me. Cause we look at his picture all the time and I'm like, man, we looked a lot alike. Anthony, do you have anybody you look like in your family? Do you have anybody like that you look like in your family? Did you know both your grandparents? Your grandfathers?
Yes,
on this Father's Day? So you were alive for both of them. Now, are they still with us? I do not know.
My dad's father is still alive. My mother has passed away, 1996, I believe.
Okay. Do you have many memories of him, or is it too?
No, many? I have enough. I have memories. They lived in Virginia, my grandparents on my mother's side, so I didn't get to see them quite as frequently, but I do have memories, yes.
So you have some good memories there. I wish I'd gotten to meet them. I really wish that I'd gotten to hang out with my wife's father, Dixon Harris, I wish that I'd gotten to hang out with my father-in-law, because I have heard so many funny stories about my father-in-law. My wife says all the time, oh, the two of you would have been insufferable together. She said, you would have driven me crazy. The two of you would have driven me crazy. So I absolutely would have loved and enjoyed that opportunity to drive my wife crazier than I already do. Would have been a great, great time. Okay. I talked about it at the beginning of the show today. I'll talk about it again. Major League Baseball is, honestly, it's a long, slow death that they are perpetrating on themselves. I likened it earlier to assisted suicide. And I really believe that's what we've got. We've got an assisted suicide situation. Major League Baseball they're committing suicide. And honestly, I'm not going to question Tony Clark's intelligence, but I am going to say, is this the strategy? Dig in your heels in the midst of a pandemic, appear completely unbending, and then get ready to come back in, I guess, 2021, in a year where the collective bargaining agreement is ending, when the major league owners are just going to shut your sport down until you make a better labor deal? Is this really the way you want to go about business at this point? Major League Baseball doesn't want to hear it. I'll say it. You're not that popular anymore. Oh, you're popular. Absolutely popular. But when you are maybe what? On primetime television, I'll tell you this, on network television, you're around a third as popular as you were 15, 20 years ago. We've talked about it many times on this show. The postseason television audience for Major League Baseball over the last three seasons, on average, the average viewer is 2 years older than I am. The average viewer. That should scare Major League Baseball immensely. You're aging out. And what's not the way to appeal to the next generation? Let you get out of their attention span. Because let me assure you, spending a week with three 16-year-old girls this week, I can tell you the attention span, it's short. And for Major League Baseball, I can only imagine 16-year-old boys, very similar. The attention span is short. So that would tend to make me believe that if you spend a summer away from them, and then you're staring at a potential lockout after next season in 2021, my guess is out of sight, out of mind. Or I should say out of sight, out of your mind, if you think this is a solid business strategy. And by the way, if you are somebody who is on either side of the fence crying for the owners or crying for the players, stop embarrassing yourselves. Please, stop embarrassing yourselves. I told you, if I was doing a blame meter thing and I had to put it a blame meter on this thing not working out, right now I would lean towards 60 to 65% player blame. Because in a pandemic, if you're demanding full pay, when you realize that the people who pay you, their revenue stream is drastically down, and that's the mountain you want to die on, let me assure you, that will not work out well with you, with the American public. But if you're aligning yourself with either side and saying they're the bad guy or they're the good guy, you look totally foolish. Because let me assure you, neither side cares a damn about you. They don't. They don't care about you. Within the Players Association, just the tactics that are being taken, the Players Association doesn't care about the guy who's missing the, you know, even with discounted rates this year, is missing making 350 grand or a million, which, by the way, $1 million in a year is life-changing money for a lot of people. And the guy's making 5 million discounted, 7 million discounted, 12 million discounted. They don't give a flip about the minimum wage guys in baseball. In fact, they're publicly bullying them into submission. And if you think the owners care about you, if you think the owners care about you as fans, no. And do the owners look at players as a commodity? Absolutely. They do. So do yourself a favor. Don't align with either side. Because they both couldn't give a flip about you. And if they portray it like they do, let me assure you, I've been in this business long enough, they're lying. They're lying. Both sides. So no need to get tribal with either side and your support. Just let you know they are collectively screwing over fan bases and communities, small towns and cities all over the country. We'll talk to Ron Blum from the AP, covers Major League Baseball, and I'll flat out ask him, does he think he will cover a game this year? Does he think he will interview a manager after a game this year? Because honestly, my skepticism is very, very high. And if baseball does it, it's going to be a disaster for them. We'll talk to Ron coming up in around 10 minutes here on the John Kincaid Show. Our toll-free line will be open for you all day at 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that will last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback. for information and eligibility. And I think you'll be really happy you did. If you go back and look at it, I think you'll really love it. A few other people sent in along songs. Picture to Burn. But if we're going to go into cancel culture, we're jumping in the deep end of the pool. And we're going after music. We got to go after music next, right? Because if people are offended... gentleman says here, Picture to Burn by Taylor Swift, the original lyrics. She says something along the lines, if you tell people I'm psycho, I'll tell people that you're gay. Oh, Taylor, that's not good. But I guess you thought it was all right because Katy Perry had a song, You're So Gay, right? Ever love me, so go and tell your friends that there it is. Yeah. So she edited up that song and changed the words, eh? She changed it up a bit. Unbelievable. Gentleman says here, what about Father Figure by George Michael? As long as you're getting into the songs about middle-aged men talking about 16-year-old girls, Father Figure by George Michael. The subject matter is inappropriate. I'm trying to see some of these other ones. I mean, if we're going into cancel culture, dive in the deep end and don't just be selectively upset about it. Now, a gentleman says here, as long as Baby Got Back can be played at every single wedding reception that he goes to, he's okay if they take it off the radio. Oh, man, there it is. Don't do this. Yeah, see, now George can't have this. God rest his soul. Can't have this one. No, we can't have it anymore. How about Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones? I'm going to suggest to you, do not even read the original lyrics. Because they've cleaned that thing up. But Brown Sugar can't be. I mean, that's not allowed. We missed one, Anthony, too. Kung Fu Fighting. Absolute cultural appropriation and sheer ignorance, gentleman says. Kung Fu Fighting. These things have to go. Again, when cancel culture is out and about, It can't stop. You can't stop it. And you can't decide, well, we're only talking about these things that are offensive. Yes.
In fact, it was a
little bit frightening. Yes.
But they fought with expert time.
Yeah, this is kung fu fighting, right? How about, do the TV shows Fresh Off the Boat and Black-ish, do they offend anybody? Anybody offended there? I mean, are we at this? Are we going to be offended by that? I can tell you that watching some of the old 70s sitcoms, you would absolutely be offended. I bet you Chris Moore, Anthony, has a list of 70s sitcoms that he knows wouldn't go over today. I think All in the Family is absolutely hilarious, but it would drive people crazy today. It would drive people crazy today. They'd lose their minds. People would lose their minds over the Jeffersons. The Jeffersons in the late 70s, I guess it was late 70s, early 80s, used the N-word on CBS television. It was tossed around. Because they took the bigoted Archie Bunker and then made a sitcom where the bigoted George Jefferson existed. And there's stuff that you just can't have it anymore. I got to tell you, Anthony, we watched old Two and a Half Men's at the beach. I don't know. That would never get made today. Chuck Lorre could never get that show on the air today. And not just because Charlie might not be able to show up for work. That the subject matter, the humor would never be allowed today because people would be too offended. That's a bad thing for all of us, I think. Ron Blum from the Associated Press. I'll ask him point blank. Are you going to be covering a game this year? Because if Ron thinks it's going to happen, I might believe it. It's the John Kincaid Show. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, you're back to having the fourth hour of the John Kincaid Show. Mike's off. You think Mike's up yet, Anthony? Now, his kids are younger than mine, right? I mean, his kids are probably up. So Mike's probably up.
Golf course already?
I think he's already. Or the horse track, right? Going out and seeing the checking on the ponies. I don't know what Mike does on the weekend. How much time does he allot to counting his money? Because I would have a money room if I was Francesa. I'd have a money room where I kept just some disposable cash that I could go in and like roll around in. Maybe light a cigar, take a 20, burn it, light a cigar with it.
Let's be fair. I think you could do that yourself, JK.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm really. I do not have Mike Francesa money. I can assure you of that. Chris Moore does, though, but he doesn't spend it. That's what I hear. He doesn't spend it. He has that money from years of network radio and everything, and it's in a mattress or something. Major League Baseball, I want it to be back so badly. And it's very difficult in this job sometimes to draw the line between fan and trying to have an objective discussion about it. But I am jonesing for baseball so bad, and I am so disgusted with everything that's going on around it. I can only imagine a guy with real insights in the sport who understands the inner workings much, much better from the players and the owner side than I do, Ron Blum, who joins us from the Associated Press. Ron, first of all, has your family or close loved ones, are they tired of you being around? Because because you're usually a much busier man this time of year.
Oh, no, I'm doing the exact same thing as always. I get up and I'm on the phone all day listening to players and owners fight over every last nickel. I'm just doing it at home rather than the office.
Ron, I got to tell you that I am leaning towards, I put my meter earlier at around 60%, 65% blame on the Players Association. And I don't take either side in the argument. I think that they both are disingenuous. I think they both strategically use the virus as a cause whenever they choose to. But this is all about the cash. You're immersed in this. Tell us what's really going on from what you've been able to decipher.
The virus is just a bargaining position ahead of collective bargaining next year. It's both sides afraid of each other, uncertain how things are going to play out. They know the agreement expires December 1st, 2021, and the virus is just jockeying for position. And on the player side, Tony Clark and Bruce Meyer trying to consolidate their position and hang on and hope to still be there next year when bargaining starts. And on the other side, for the clubs, it's the various struggles between the high revenue and small ones and competing for what the bargaining position that makes the most sense. And this is just a move or two ahead of bargaining.
What would, Ron, what would the reasoning be from the Major League Baseball Players Association to not understand that the other major sports all do revenue share? And is that what this is a fear about, that the owners are going to lock down the sport and they're going to try to impose this and wait out the players? Or am I reading something more into this?
Well, no, I think the weaker and weaker that the Players Association appears, the more a chance the owners will propose that. I mean, I would put the chance of a spring training lockout in 2022 at 99%. It's
wow.
Hard to see how they avoid it unless there's some change in the personnel on both sides. But right now, the way the Players Association is, the union has used the virus to try to unite the players. And Bruce Meyer and Tony Clark took the stance of full prorated pay, and they're trying to push us around, and we all have to get behind this. And a lot of people wonder whether, you know, it's just money. How you structure the money doesn't really matter how you get there. Revenue sharing is more a structural issue that the players have always had. They don't want payroll floors. They don't want payroll tops. But if you put in how seething the union staff is over service time manipulation, especially they lost the Chris Bryant grievance, then what they call tanking and the teams call the right to rebuild, and then you put it on top of dumb things like the union did agree to the luxury tax surtax, which pretty much acted as a cap we've seen, and you have five straight years of relatively flat salaries. That's caused so much pressure to build up. It's like a volcano, just like the early 90s.
Do you believe that at some point in the next few months, you will interview a manager after a game, whether it's virtually or in person? You will talk to a general manager about the status of his team heading into the postseason. On today, June 21st, personally, how optimistic are you that you're going to get back to doing that work?
And I would say talk one-on-one to a manager's face. I doubt it. From everything we hear, they're using this as a pretext to hide from the media and do everything by Zoom call and conference call.
They love that, by the way. They love that.
And they're talking about no one-on-one access, or you have to ask the PR staff for access, which for a lot of teams means, yeah, good luck. You might as well spit in the wind. But now I would say, look, there's no way to predict if they're actually going to be on the field for some 50-game season or 55-game season. That's all going to depend on public health, and I don't think anyone's in a position to predict that. Certainly what happened in Florida in the last week is not a good sign. But if things are well enough that they can play, they'll play, and we'll have some sort of season, the shortest since the 1870s.
And that's just, to me, it seems crazy when you're that's where we're at. It seems crazy.
Well,
that's where we're at.
They could have started months ago, but the fear and the structure of both sides means the virus and everything else is put aside other than the Hatfields and McCoys between the clubs and the union.
It's such a scary thought. I keep saying, too, Ron, is that they're aging out. Their fan base is aging out. And being out of the public eye this year and then potentially a lockout in 2022, I mean, it could be disastrous for the sport. This could be the death knell as far as it being ever a true competitor as a mainstream major sport. Or is that overreaching on my part?
Yeah, I don't know. Because of the amount of inventory and the way the media landscape has changed with streaming, I don't think that's going to happen. What I do think is they could face a sustained period where the average attendance is a lot closer to 20,000 a game than it is to 30,000.
Which is probably why the owners would want a revenue-sharing type of agreement if they could get it, right?
Yeah, and we have to see. I mean, it's at all unclear how the power shakeouts are going to go on the Players Association side. It's a very weird dynamic now because the eight players on the union's executive subcommittee, two of the eight aren't even on 40-man rosters right now. We're spring training on minor league contracts. And those eight really are the power structure. And there's all sorts of fear and splits. You talk to the agent group about the three players who are represented by Scott Boras on the group and the other five. And it's, yes, the players are unified, but behind the unity, there's a lot of shifting and maneuvering going on and positioning for the future.
Ron, it's a scary thought that this is Father's Day, and we have no idea whether we'll see games. That to me is it's unbelievable because it might just be. Is there a drop dead date in your opinion, where you just got to say because of getting ready for next season that you just say if it's not by this date, it's probably time to just think about scrapping it?
Yeah, the same thing we saw in the '94-'95 strike. Sometime in the first week or two of August. At a certain point, the regular season becomes superfluous and just becomes a postseason with no pre. But I think sometime in the next week, this thing is going to either start to fall into place or come apart again, unless the public health situation changes and that overrides everything.
I want you to get back to work legitimate. I mean, we're talking about games. Talking about player movement, talking about trades, talking about free agency. I want you back to that kind of work.
Well, trades, I mean, who knows how that's going to shake out. The one thing I think we're pretty sure is that the free agent class this offseason is going to get slammed. Mookie Betts is not getting $300 million.
No.
He's getting something closer to between $100 and $150 million. I think a lot of these guys are going to be considering whether to take one-year deals to stay put and then try again another year. And other than Real Muto, because there's such a premium on a starting catcher, I don't think anyone is assured of anything. And some people are going to get a lot less than they thought, people like Ota Ritchie and Stroman and Bauer.
Well, Ron, I appreciate it. Thanks for making time for me today.
All right, have a great day. Bye, guys.
And the mama used to say all the time, what's the matter? What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face.
The show never stops on Twitter. Follow along at John Kincaid.
Shut up your face. That's not politically correct. Okay, got to get rid of this one, too. The cancel culture said that the mocking of the Italian-American community just never stops. Honestly, every single movie or TV show, Anthony, how is mom in an Italian family depicted? What is she doing in the scene? Stirring the sauce? Making the gravy? Checkerboards? Checkerboard tablecloths? It's unbelievable. All right, you want to get in with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS. Daryl in South Carolina joins us. Daryl, welcome to the John Kincaid Show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I listened to you and Buck all the time in Atlanta before I moved, and then I lost the signal when I moved too far north of Atlanta.
Thank you.
I've always wanted to get in your show, especially to talk to you, man. Because
thank you, Daryl.
We're a Georgia Tech and an Auburn family, and Buck was just too much of a homer. So I said, man, if I get in, I hope Kincaid will take the call. But
there you go.
Hey, can I ask a favor? I'm driving, and my wife is looking at me. She's a hardcore fan, too. But I wanted to be courteous, and if I put you on hands-free, I don't want to put any weird noises out there. Can I give it a shot?
That's fine. Give it a shot.
All right, I'm going to give it a shot here.
I don't want you to get a ticket for not doing hands-free.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What do you got to talk about?
Well, I don't care about all this cancel stuff. I'm just really frustrated, want some sports, but
it's coming.
I guess it is what it is. We got to ride it out and see what happens. On the other thing, kind of a trivia, the reason I wanted to talk to you so much, I'm on my way now to see my son-in-law, who's from the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Really? And where's he from?
Yeah,
Do you know?
He's from, yeah, Malvern, PA.
Guess what? I used to live in Malvern. My father begged me to go to Malvern Prep, made me take the entrance exam to Malvern Prep, and I told him, if you send me to Malvern, and I passed, and I got a great score, and I said, if you send me to Malvern Prep, I will fail out on purpose.
Well, my son-in-law went to Devon Prep.
Okay, well, then your son-in-law had money. That's all I'm going to say. Malvern and Devon Prep, they had money.
No, it's a different story. He got a basketball scholarship. He also played basketball at Haverford.
Oh, gosh. So well, then, seriously. That. Yeah, well, they did. I got to run down. I got to get to some other people. But thank you. Travel safely. Happy Father's Day to you. Mitch in New Jersey joins us. Mitch, how are you? Where are you from? Mitch, where are you in New Jersey?
East Windsor, John. How you doing? Happy Father's Day
good.
To you and everybody out there.
You sound just like my buddy Paul Steiner. You sound exactly like him. If you called me on the phone, I would think you were Paulie. It's unbelievable. He's a New Jersey guy.
I hear all good things, especially from your old stomping grounds, you know, Quazetta.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I know. Phil, I don't want to start making comparisons, but that's a real passionate sports fan.
It is.
But,
it really is.
I think you have more elbow room in Atlanta.
Yeah, we got a little more space.
Yeah, but everybody knows how nice Atlanta is from where I hear, too. So the people will be coming.
There you go.
I say there should be some government, but I don't want to mention his name, but some authority with business that make these ball plays, they should have been the first one to agree to something a month ago. It should have been. You got the basketball's ready to start, the hockey, the soccer. It's a shame. I know this is so unusual. This has to be like the worst year in history since the Great Depression.
Well, Mitch, here's what's going to happen is they're going to slit their own throats on this. They're gonna hurt their own future income ability to earn. The damage is going to be done. They're doing lasting damage to their brand. By the way, players and owners alike, not getting this done. They're gonna do damage that is gonna have lasting effects. I really believe it. And they're ignorant.
And for all young players, how are they gonna hone their skills? All these draft choices, they're gonna go to other sports.
That's the truth.
And the only good thing I see about this. The DH is going to be permanent in both leagues, which I'm happy to see. I can't wait for things to be normal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mitch. I promise you this, and I love, by the way, if you listen to this show, you know I love Mike Tirico. Huge fan of Mike Tirico's play-by-play work. Huge fan of Mike personally. Great dude. Had the honor of filling in and hosting his radio show at ESPN Radio back in the day many, many times. Love Mike. But yesterday, even on coverage on TV, the idea of the new normal. I assure you, this isn't our new normal. I assure you, I hate it every time I hear it. This is not our new normal. If you think we're going to be wearing masks, because the new normal indicates it will never be back to what it was before. And I assure you with 100% certainty that we will be back. We will be back to full stadiums. We will be back to not wearing masks. We will be back to people not worrying about a virus. I assure you, 100% certainty. And every time I hear new normal, I consider it the drinking game of stupidity. Because no, if you say new normal, this is our new normal. You're saying we're going to be wearing masks the rest of our lives. I assure you, we won't. I assure you, we will hug and kiss again. Beloved relatives and friends. John in South Carolina joins us. John, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
Doing good, John. Love the show. Agree with everything you're saying.
Oh, well, that's terrible. If you do that, you need mental help. If you agree with everything I said.
Well, the second thing is, I'm sorry. You've only had me on one other time, and I listened to my voice on the radio. I sound like a banshee and a buzzsaw, so I apologize about my voice.
It's all right, buddy.
Hey, I've got the most unracial name for the Washington Redskins, so nobody can complain about this one.
Okay.
I say call them the Washington No-Skins.
The No-Skins, but then they'd be the Skeletons. So you're suggesting the Washington Skeletons? It might be. I don't know. Maybe, I don't see anybody could be offended by that name. And I really don't. The Washington Skeletons. By the way, that would be a pretty cool logo. You could come up with a cool logo. Yeah. I think
Make
you're a genius.
Glow in the dark.
It could work, too. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to you out there. I'm just thinking, that works. The Washington Skeletons. Anthony, would you buy gear? You see, I don't buy any gear for any team that I don't root for.
No, me either. Of course not.
Yeah, but I know people who do.
Oh, I know people as well. I would never do that.
Like, I got a buddy of mine here at the radio station where we work, at 680 The Fan in Atlanta, home of the John Kincaid Show. One of our guys who, behind the scenes, produces, engineers, Big John Radcliffe. And when I tell you Big John Radcliffe is a mountain of a man, he is a mountain of a man. And he'll wear other teams' logoed gear, like, for the fashion statement of it.
Like, I have a buddy, I live here up in New York, he's a Knicks fan, but he loves Steph Curry as a basketball player. He bought a Steph Curry Golden State Warriors jersey, and he wears it. I would never do that.
He's a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
And he's wearing this. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. Now, will you see Dad today?
Yes, I will.
So you will. Did you get Dad a gift?
You know, I did not this time.
What? Wait a minute. I'm really going to get on you here. look, don't you dare show up.
He did this to himself because...
What do you mean?
I've been buying him, like, shirts for the, you know, past Father's Day and Christmas back in December, and he never wears anything.
So I'm your dad's a nudist. Your dad's a nudist is what you're telling me.
I'm like, screw this. He's not wearing any of the things I'm buying him, so why am I wasting the money?
Does your dad have a hobby?
Honestly, no.
No? No hobby? Does he grill out?
No, he's not. He does not grill out.
Does he cook?
Not really.
Okay. What does he do?
He goes to work and he comes home.
He comes home. Does he enjoy a good glass of wine?
I mean, he'll drink from time to time. He'll have a wine.
So he's not.
No.
It's not a. Okay.
No. Again, like, he's a big sports fan. He loves the Mets. So a lot of times during the holidays and Father's Day and past, I get him like Mets hoodies or Mets T-shirts.
Will he wear those?
He never wears them. No.
He won't wear them?
He doesn't wear them.
So today you're going to your dad. You're going to see your dad and you're going to say, Happy Father's Day, Dad. You know he's looking for the gift.
Well, I'm going.
And you're going empty-handed.
Well, I'm going to tell him what I just told you. Like, why am I spending the money?
You're an ungrateful SOB. I'm just going to tell you, you're ungrateful. What if this is your last Father's Day with him? I'm not trying to jinx anything.
Oh, geez.
Sorry, Mr. P.
Kincaid.
But what if it is?
I mean,
you'll never get over.
Geez,
you will.
Man,
I yeah. will tell you, you'll never get over the guilt. You will never get over the guilt.
I'm not going to feel guilty because I didn't give him a Father's Day gift one time.
Well, you should.
I'm not
ungrateful. I mean, seriously, you ask more about this. You ask Chris more about this. Dad's still looking for the gift.
You know,
he's still looking.
Chris is all ready to go.
Chris is right. Chris Moore will be.
It's the saddest story I've ever heard. I mean, right before my show too, and I've got to come on with some kind of optimism. And I mean, a guy. What did your dad do, Anthony? Oh, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
He comes home. He lays down on the couch.
He doesn't drink.
He doesn't come home and drink
even.
He doesn't smoke cigars. He doesn't play golf. He doesn't go to the track. He doesn't bowl. He doesn't.
Chris, how come you don't get a jingle? How come you don't get a jingle, by the way?
Like, I don't get a jingle.
Chris is on. Chris is on.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking sports just as much as he can.
No, he really isn't these days. He's not talking any sports at all.
Chris,
it's a sad thing. That might be why I don't have a jingle.
I think we might do is Chris wanders. Chris wanders.
Yes. That would
he
be
meanders
much better.
He meanders around topics as much as he can.
That's John. He knows me. JK knows me. See, he's outed me. He's guilty.
There was a turf war over this fourth hour today.
It wasn't really a war, man. As soon as I heard you were getting it, I said, thank you very much. My pillow said, okay, baby. I said, hey, pillow, you and I are going to be a little more friendly than we usually are.
I'll sleep until 10.
Absolutely, baby.
You connect around 9:45.
Making bacon. That's it.
Making bacon. Chris, we'll look forward to hearing you. Happy Father's Day to you.
Hey, same to you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care. Chris Moore, top of the hour. I guarantee you. Now, look, Mike is a legend in the business. I promise you will be more laughs with Chris Moore. You know, I mean, Chris is going to take a page out of Mike's book, I heard. Because I heard many interesting stories the last month about the summer of 67. Now, I was two. So I don't remember it, but Mike Francesa told us many stories about what was going on in the summer of 67 with the riots and everything. I don't think Chris is going to start with a history lesson today, but you never know. That show could go off the rails at any minute. You don't want to miss it. Here, let me just say it again. It's Father's Day to all you dads out there. Dad's trying to do the best job that he can. And unfortunately, I lost my dad young. And Christmas Eve, even. Can you make the story even worse, John? Yes, I can. Can you make it worse? Okay, 16th birthday the day before. Okay, yes, you can make it worse. But I can tell you this, as time goes on, my dad and I didn't have the best relationship. We just didn't. And he died too young for us to repair it. But I can tell you one thing, as a father, I now realize 16 and a half years into being a father, that it's not easy work. And every decision that's made isn't meant with, I want to dominate you. I want to control everything that you do. And I've learned a lot more respect for the man that, unfortunately, I never got to know as an adult. So to all you fathers out there, God bless you all. God bless you all. Congratulations. Thank you. And Anthony's going to get a damn gift. He is. At Tony Piano on Twitter. Follow him. He's occasionally funny. Thanks so much, Mark Ernay. And to all of you, I'm glad to be back after a week of relaxation. The John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. See you next Sunday. Chris Moore's next.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.